as we look through the Magid section of the Haggadah, the section of the Haggadah that fulfills the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, we find a section which is a little bit strange. We start with Halach Ma'anya. We have the Manishtana that the child asks, or the Korei asks, or we ask ourselves if Chas V'Shalom we're by ourselves for the Seder. We begin answering the questions of the Manishtana with Avadim Hayinu, and then we take a little bit of a detour, or I should say what appears to be a detour. We have the story of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and the others in Bnei Brak. We have the Arba Banim, and we have then the second beginning of Magid, the second beginning, so to speak, of Mitchila of Dei Avodah Zarah Hayavotenu. This middle section of the beginning of Magid, of Rabbi Eliezer and Bnei Brak, etc., and the Arba Banim, Rabbi Soloveitchik describes that part of the Haggadah as reminding us that every single person has a connection to the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, the events of Yitziat Mitzrayim, and the messages of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Every single person, from the highest to the low, from the Chacham to the Rasha, even Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, etc., even they who knew everything, still have a portion in Magid, in Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, and the messages. So let's take a look at that section for a moment. And we're going to begin with this Ma'aseh. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer, v'Rabbi Yehoshua, v'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, v'Rabbi Akiva, v'Rabbi Tarfon, shehayu mesubin b'Bnei Brak. V'hayu mesaprin b'Yitziat Mitzrayim kol oto halayla, ad shebau talmideihem v'amru lahem, rabotenu, higia zman kriyat shema shel shacharit. And I'd like to begin with a very simple question. What are all of these rabbis doing in Bnei Brak? Why are they in Bnei Brak? Every one of these rabbis obviously is contemporaries. They're having Pesach Seder together. They are contemporaries of Rabbi Gamliel. They are the first generation after the Churban. They witnessed the Churban, and together with Rabbi Gamliel, they represent the greatest of the greats, the leaders of the leaders of post-Churban Israel, post-Churban history, post-Churban service. And the question is, and again, it seems like a very simple question, what are they doing in Bnei Brak? The question is made stronger when we realize, first of all, that Rabbi Eliezer himself came from Lod. We're going to see a Gemara in a moment. It appears in many places. He was in Lod. What's he doing in Bnei Brak? He had a yeshiva there for many years. We know that Rabbi Yehoshua lived in Pekin. Pekin is way up north. It's between Akko to the west and Sfat to the east. Right between there, we think, is the city Pekin, where Rabbi Yehoshua lived. So what was he doing in Bnei Brak? Only Rabbi Akiva himself was from Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak was Rabbi Akiva's city. If you go to Bnei Brak today, the main street, the main thoroughfare in Bnei Brak is called Rehov Rabbi Akiva. And there's many, many Gemaras telling us where people come from, but I'll quote one. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Bet, says, Tanu Rabbanan Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof. The Torah tells us that you have to chase after justice. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Halach Achar Chachamim La Yeshiva. You have to go find Chachamim. So, for example, the Gemara gives many examples. One of them is you have to go to Rabbi Eliezer in Lod, as we said. One of the examples is you have to go to Rabbi Yehoshua in Pekin, as we said. One of the examples is to go to Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak. There's other examples, too. The Gemara lists many Rebbeim there. You have to go after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in his city, and Rabbi Gamliel in his city, in Yavne. So what were they doing in Bnei Brak? A further complication is that Rabbi Akiva was the Talmid, and it was Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua who were his Rebbeim. The Gemara, when the Gemara describes Rabbi Akiva realizing that he knew nothing at the age of 40, if you remember the story of looking at the water, the water that was smoothing out the rock, and he finally he went to school. He actually went to learn the Aleph Bet with his son. He was such an Am Haaretz, he couldn't even read the Aleph Bet, that he went with his son. And eventually the Gemara there says that he learned with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. So wouldn't it make more sense for the student to go to the Rebbe as opposed to the Rebbe going to the student? The question is complicated even further by a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Bet. The Gemara in Chaf Zayin Amud Bet in Masechet Sukkah says, it's a long Gemara there, it's a very interesting Gemara, that Rabbi Eliezer says that it is asur to leave your home, ein yotzin mi batehem baregel. You're not allowed to leave, he said. There's a longer Gemara there, but he says that you're not allowed to leave your house. And he quotes the Pasuk, V'samachta ata uveitecha. You have to stay with your family, stay in your home for Yontif. So, we don't pask in that way. You are allowed to leave your house, obviously, for Yontif, but you're supposed to come with your family. So, why would Rabbi Eliezer leave to go to Bnei Brak? He's the Rebbe. He says that you're not allowed to leave. He's from a different city. He's from Lod. We said Rabbi Yehoshua is from Pki'in. Rabbi Akiva is from Bnei Brak himself. No one else is. So why? So the that's again, it seems like a simple question, but I think the answer is going to reveal a very key component to Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim and the night of the Seder. The Torah Tamima, the author of the Torah Tamima is Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein. He died in 1942. In addition to his incredible work, Torah Tamima, he wrote a sefer called Baruch Sheamar. And this is a sefer that's written on the Siddur, it's written on Pirkei Avot, and he also has a volume on the Haggadah. So this is the Torah Tamima's Haggadah. And he says that the answer to our question of why were they all in Bnei Brak, it's an incredible answer, and I think, as I said, I think it reveals much more about what goes on Pesach night. He says that the answer comes from a pretty famous Gemara at the very end of Masechet Makot. I think a lot of people know the second half of the Gemara, but he's quoting the first half of the Gemara. A lot of people know the Gemara at the end of Masechet Makot about the Rebbeim who were walking and saw the wolves coming out of the Kodesh Kadashim, and the rabbis cry and he laughs. There's two pieces to that Gemara. First of all, one should realize, who are these Rebbeim? The Rebbeim who were walking along Har HaBayit were exactly the Rebbeim we just mentioned, except for one, which we'll explain in a moment, who joined Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak. It was Rabbi Gamliel, it was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it was Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Akiva himself. One should also know that the Gemara actually has a story prior to that. We know the story of Rabbi Akiva and everybody walking and seeing the wolf leaving, or the fox, leaving Har HaBayit. But the Gemara begins with another Gemara. And it says that those same Rebbeim, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Akiva were walking, and they heard the movements, or the spears, or just the sounds of Roman soldiers, Roman troops. And it was very far away, the sound. And yet they heard it, which means it was a huge, huge, huge army. And they all start crying, and Rabbi Akiva starts laughing. Sounds familiar? Sounds familiar. They all start crying, and he starts laughing, and he says to them, "Why are you..." They said to him, "Why are you crying? Why are you laughing?" And he said to them, "Why are you crying?" So I'll continue from the Gemara there. Amru lo, halalu kushiyim shemishtachavim la'atzavim umekachim la'avodas kochavim yoshvin vetach vehashket. He says, these are non-Jews, and they worship avodah zara, and yet they're sitting comfortably and quietly and peacefully. V'anu, says these Rebbeim, Beit Hadom Raglei Elokeinu Saruf Ba'esh V'lo Nivkeh, and our Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, and we're not going to cry. Amar Lahen, says Rabbi Akiva, L'kach Ani Metzachek, that's why I'm laughing. Says Rabbi Akiva, Uma Li Ovrei Ritzono Kach, if that is the reward. These are people who do Avodah Zarah. They go against God's will. And if that's the reward they're going to get, then you could only imagine we, Le'osei Ritzono, Alachat Kama V'Kama, how much more of a reward are we going to get by listening to God. And the end of the Gemara, both Gemaras, is that we have Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu. Akiva, you have consoled us. Akiva, you have consoled us. That's the Gemara. And says the Baruch Sheamar, says our Baruch Halevi Epstein, why, or I should say, how did Rabbi Akiva console them? How did his words console them? They said, why are the Romans so peaceful and tranquil, and why are we being punished? The bottom line is, we're still being punished. We're still not living in peace and tranquility. So how did Rabbi Akiva console them? And says Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein that their question was not about the Romans. Who cares about the Romans? We are never jealous of other people, certainly not of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But rather, says the Baruch Sheamar, those rabbis were asking this question. Here we are after the Churban. And here are the Romans, we can hear them from miles and miles away. And it really seems like Bnei Yisrael will never rise again, Chas V'Shalom. Bnei Yisrael is going to disperse. Bnei Yisrael is going to assimilate. It's all over, Chas V'Shalom. That's why we cried. And Rabbi Akiva says, no. Look at them. They're peaceful and they're tranquil. We will also be. Imagine what it will be like for us. It's not like that for us now. It looks bad now. It looks like there's no hope, but it's going to get better. Things are going to get better. Things will get better. This, by the way, tangentially, is a theme in Rabbi Akiva's life. He always saw things that nobody else saw. And there's many, many examples, all the way from what he promised his wife when they were sitting in the barn, sleeping in the hay. He said, when we become wealthy, I'm going to buy you a golden tiara. And indeed, he's able to. And what he saw in the rock, and the smoothed out rock that nobody else saw, etc., etc. Many, many examples when he was dying. Anyway, says Rabbi Akiva, things look bad. Things look dark. But they will get better. Things will get better. And they said, Akiva Nichamtanu, you gave us hope to keep building. You gave us hope to keep rebuilding. And that, says Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein, that is why those Rebbeim came to Rav Akiva's hometown. Other than Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi, and he had to stay in Yavne. They came to express their appreciation and gratitude for giving them hope post-Churban. The Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, and you and I have not lived in a world yet, with the Beit HaMikdash. So we can't even fully fathom what it was like to have it and then to lose it. But you can imagine the despair that even the greatest of the greats, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, were beginning to lose hope. And it was Rabbi Akiva himself who said, do not give up. There's going to be a light at the end of the day, light at the end of the tunnel. And that's how the second story goes about the fox also. Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu. And they came to Bnei Brak to express their appreciation and their gratitude for giving them hope, as we said. And why Pesach? Why didn't they just come any day? Why didn't they come that Shabbos? Why didn't they come any time? So says the Baruch Sheamar, and at this point I'm going to read inside, Vehem kulam ba'u elav, lisaper b'yitziat Mitzrayim b'leil chag ha-Pesach, and they came for Yitziat Mitzrayim, for Leil HaSeder, for Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. Mipnei shemiyitziat Mitzrayim gan kein mitbarer nitzchiyut Yisrael. Shekol klei yotzer alav lo yatzliach l'chaloto chas v'chalila. And that's why they came on Pesach, because, as we just read in the Baruch Sheamar, Pesach, Leil HaSeder, Sipri Yetziat Mitzrayim reminds us over and over again that no matter what anybody throws at us, no matter what happens to in the world, when no matter what happens politically and militarily, Chas v'Shalom, we will not be destroyed. And that is why they were continuing, those rabbis were learning all night long until the Talmidim came and said it's time for Kriyat Shema, because Kriyat Shema also comes to strengthen us. Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharit, we say, we also say Ezrat Avoteinu, etc. Magenu Moshia Livnehem Acharehem Bechol Dor Vador. Says the Baruch Sheamar, Kriyat Shema reminds us that we are promised from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if we accept Him, nothing will happen to us. There are dips, we know. There are sad parts, without question, to say the very least. But as a nation, Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Haggadah, Leil HaSeder, Pesach in general, reminds us that even when things look terrible, even in the darkest, darkest, darkest of times, we know that we will not be completely destroyed. It's conveyed in the throughout Pesach. It's conveyed in the Haftorahs that we read on Pesach. It's how we start all of Magid. Magid begins Ha Lachma Anya Di Achalu, etc. Hashata Avdei Lishana Haba Bnei Chorin. I know we're going to be Bnei Chorin. It's very strange for some people. You and I are relatively lucky, of course, but imagine 100 years ago reading the Seder and we're saying Bnei Chorin, Bnei Chorin. We're not Bnei Chorin. There's pogroms and there's riots and there's anti-Semitism. No, don't worry about it. Lishana Haba Bnei Chorin. We feel like we're slaves now. We are slaves now. But that's not what's in our future. This is this hope, this expectation. We see this throughout the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. So for example, we know, you can take a look at Rashi in Shmot, in Parshat Truma, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Hei. Again, it's Rashi and Parshat Truma, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Hei. That's the Rashi that tells us, where did Bnei Yisrael get the wood to build the Mishkan? You know where we got the wood from? Yaakov brought with him to Mitzrayim. He brought wood from Beersheva. And that wood was planted by Avram Avinu. The wood that was used for the building of the Mishkan was taken from trees planted by none other than Avram Avinu himself. And that's exactly, he's the one who was promised at the Brit Ben Abatarim, don't worry, there is going to be darkness. Va'avadum v'inu otam. But achrechen yitzu b'chush gadol. And that seedling, literally, from Avram Avinu, went all the way to Yaakov. Yaakov, as he's going down to Mitzrayim, and he knows there's dark times. And what does he do? He brings a tree. He brings trees with him. He brings Avram's trees, the trees of hope. Even while I walk into Mitzrayim, I know that we're coming out. That same hope and that same expectation was expressed by the women who took the instruments to play with them when they left Mitzrayim, because they were so sure that Hashem would save them. You're walking out of Mitzrayim, you're walking into the desert, you have no food, you have the Yam Suf in front of you where you're going to be drowned on one side or killed by the Egyptians on the other, and the women are carrying tambourines and saying, we can't wait to celebrate. What do you mean to celebrate? We're about to drown in the Yam Suf, we're about to be killed by the Mitzrayim. And says the Nashim Tzidkaniyot, no, that's not true. We are going to survive. Take a look at Rashi and Bishalach. Perek Tetvav Pasuk Chaf. Perek Tetvav Pasuk Chaf and Bishalach. That's the Rashi. But they took it, they said, no, what are you talking about? It is going to happen. It is going to come true. Part of Mitzrayim, part of Yitziat Mitzrayim, part of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, part of the Haggadah is remembering that in the worst times, darkest times, we have hope. This is also a message, I think, behind a very enigmatic medrash. The medrash says, the medrash is based on psukim in Va'era. If you recall in Parshat Va'era, Perek Hey, towards the beginning, psukim vav, etc., Paro increases the amount of bricks that Bnei Yisrael must make. And if you take a look at Perek Hei Pasuk Tet in Va'era, says, okay, go back to Vav. Vayetzav Paro, again, it's Perek Hei Pasuk Vav. Vayetzav Paro Bayomahu et hanogsim ba'am vet shotav le'mor lo tosifu natzei teven la'am l'bon halveinim kitmol shilshom heim yelchu v'koshashu lehem teven. Don't give them any more wheat, hay to make bricks. They're going to do it themselves, those Jews. Ve'et matkonet halaveinim asher hem osim t'mol shilshom tasimu aleihem lo tigru mimenu kin yirpim hem al kein so akim le'mor nielcha nizbecha le'lokenu. They're getting lazy, these Jews. So you have to keep the amount of bricks that they have to make the same, but they've got to get it. They've got to get the hay themselves. And then the Pasuk says in Pasuk Tet, tichbar ha'avodah al ha'anashim ve'ya'asu ba. Make the work stronger, heavier for the men, and make sure they do it. The al yish'u, these are the words that the Medrash is focusing on, these last four words, the al yish'u b'divrei shaker. Don't let them pay attention anymore to false ideas. Says the Medrash, what does that mean? What's going on here? So says the Medrash, tichbad ha'avodah al anashim, make the work worse, says the Medrash. The Medrash is found in Shmot Rabbah, Parsha Hey Ot Yud Chet. Shmot Rabbah, Parsha Hey Ot Yud Chet. Tichbar ha'avodah al ha'anashim. Milamed, says the Medrash, this pasuk teaches me, Shahayu biyadam migilot. There were certain texts that Bnei Yisrael had. Shehayu mishtashin bahen, mishabbat l'shabbat. They used to think about and pay attention to, on Shabbos, these certain books, Megillot, Lomar, and what did they say? Shehakadosh Baruch Hu goalan. These were books of encouragement, excitement. Don't worry, Bnei Yisrael. You're going to be saved. Amar lehen paro, I'm sorry, lefi shayu nochin b'shabbat, says the Medrash, because they used to rest on Shabbos. If you recall, Moshe asked permission to have one day off. It was Shabbos. And then that day was eventually shut down. Because amar lehen paro, tichbad ha'avodah al anashim v'ya'asu ba, v'al yishu, etc., v'al yishu b'divrei shaker, says the Medrash, al yehu mishtashin v'al yehu nefishin b'yom ha'shabbat. These days of Shabbos, says the Medrash, that Paro said, these days of Shabbos are causing Bnei Yisrael to be distracted. We look at it from the Jewish perspective. Sure, they were distracted. They had hope. Paro didn't like hope. Paro didn't want hope. He shut down that hope. He shut down Shabbos. He made them work on Shabbos. But says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas. He died in 1986. He died the same year that, and very close to the time that Rav Moshe Feinstein died. They were both huge founders, one could say, of modern American Judaism. And says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he wrote a sefer, Perush on the Chumash, called Emet LeYaakov, or Emes LeYaakov. And says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, what were these Megillot that they were reading on Shabbos? What were they? We have no record of them. What books? I would love to get my hand on the books that cheered up Bnei Yisrael, that distracted Bnei Yisrael, that gave Bnei Yisrael hope, so much so that Paro had to shut them down. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky his answer, but his answer first requires a short detour. The short detour goes like this. We know, and if you have a Tehillim in front of you, you'll remember that Mizmor Tzadi Bet, Mizmor 92, is, you know, Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbat Tov Lo Dot LaShem Lo Zamer L'Shim Chalion. That is the Medrash, that is the Mizmor, that is the Perek in Tehillim that we say on Shabbos day. Hayom Yom Shabbat Shebo Hayu Halavim Amim Bebet HaMikdash Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbat. Why? Why? Why is that the Mizmor that we say on Shabbos? Shabbat is not mentioned once in that entire Mizmor. The entire Mizmor has 16 psukim. The Medrash is the Tehillim doesn't mention Shabbos once. Why would that be? the Mizmor for Shabbos. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, number one, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu himself wrote that Mizmor. You can take a look at a Rashi in Baba Basra, Yudal Ramud Bet. Rashi, Baba Basra, Yudal Ramud Bet tells us that Moshe himself wrote the Mizmor, Mizmor Shir, Leyom HaShabbat, Tov, Lodot, Lashem, Lozamil, Shemichon, etc. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, it sounds radical, but it fits in exactly to what we've been saying all along. This was one of the Megillot that Bnei Yisrael read every Shabbat in Mitzrayim. It gave them hope. Lahagid baboker chasdecha ve'emunatcha baleilot, even when things are darkness, even when things are dark, like the darkness of night, we still have emunah and Hashem. Ish ba'ar lo yeda uchsil lo yavin et zot bifroach rishaim kemo esev vayatzitzu kol po'al yaven liisham dam adayad. You think you want to know why the rishaim are doing well? It's to destroy them. Don't worry about that. You have hope. I am with you, says Hashem. This was what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. And this is what they all read on Shabbos. And this is the hope that they received. And this is the hope that Paro wanted to kill by making them work on Shabbos. This is a message of Pesach. Things look bad. Things look scary. Do not worry. Pesach, the message, one of the messages of Pesach is do not worry. How many darker days in our history have there been than the days of Mitzrayim? Not for a year, and not for two, but for two centuries, or even four centuries, depending on how you count. Dark, dark, dark days. And yet, we know that Hashem is with us. And yet, we know that Hashem takes us out of the darkness. Me'afela Leora. We know, and that is the message, one of the messages of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And perhaps that's why the Haggadah ends with Nirtzah. Nirtzah is forward-looking. And we say all of the songs we sing are about the future, what's going to happen in the future. And Chasal Sidur Pesach, we can't wait to bring the Korban Pesach. And we end, of course, with the resounding L'shana Haba B'Yushalayim HaBenuya. Every Chag has an element of sadness, a component of sadness, in terms of not having the Beit HaMikdash. But Pesach seems to be more than that. Who else? When else do we have Mizmorim like this? When else do we have Megillot like this? When else do we have songs like this of it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine? And the answer, as we've been seeing all along, is that is a theme on Pesach. Things look bad sometimes. Things look dark sometimes. Things look like we have no hope. Chas v'shalom. And we sit on Pesach night and we say, B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki'ilu hu yetzah mitzrayim. You left Mitzrayim. You know when things look bad, God still takes care of you. And therefore today too, when things look bad, when things look scary, when things look down, when things look dark, we remember Pesach, we remember Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, and we say, Hashem, I know, it doesn't look good now, but I know that you will never give up hope on us. You will never let us be squandered. Netzach Yisrael lo yishakir. And Emir Tzashem today, even though things look dark, even though things look sad, even though things look sometimes like there's no way out, we sit there like real, real B'nai Chorin, leaning and drinking wine, dipping our food without a care in the world. Why no care in the world? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us. And our bracha, God willing, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to reveal Himself to us, to continue to take us out of darkness, Emir Tzashem, and we will all be zocha to build the Beit HaMikdash, and we will be zocha to bring our own Korban Pesach. Have a Chag Sameach, everybody.